At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to District Nationals, episode 1.14. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at Reverse Two RSS and the show at District BSB. I tell you what, Trey. The All-Star break could not have come at a better time for the Nationals because they look like a completely new team, rejuvenated coming out of the All-Star break. Just like you, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back this week. How about that? I agree, man. They really looked night and day were really sluggish coming into the All-Star break. Sloppy play, pitchers not really having their stuff, their command.
Which did happen again this season.
We're still dealing with that, but you know that might happen. But they definitely looked like they needed that rest and that they got it and that they maximized it because they came out and swept a Reds team that was looking to compete. Mm-hmm. I think coming out of the break, and we might have just knocked them back into the cellar.
Yep.
So you know, always feels good to play spoiler sometimes, even though it's not a team in the division.
Yeah.
But yeah, played really well.
100%. It was kind of just like it wasn't quite full circle, but just the opening series of the season, it just felt like the Reds just were by far and away the better team. That was so long ago at this point. It's like years in baseball terms. But it was kind of nice to like get one back on them a little bit.
Definitely.
A little bit of a different looking Nats team than what we started with, and for the better.
Definitely. Yeah. They hit really well this week. They showed some good plate discipline, especially in that game one.
Yeah.
They really dominated. Honestly, the final score didn't really tell the whole story there. Cause it was pretty much a dominant outing, by the Nats. Really good stuff against the Reds.
So like obviously the sweep is really good. I don't think it changes too much in terms of what the Nationals do next week at the deadline. They obviously already traded Hunter Harvey.
That's something to talk about.
That happened shortly after we recorded, which of course, what doesn't happen? What doesn't happen? It's sort of old news at this point just because of the timing of our episode releases, but that was, you know, we had talked about, I don't know if it was last episode, the episode before, like the Nationals had been doing like progressive moves and changes to their roster, like bringing up James Wood and, you know, optioning Joey Meneses in favor of Juan Yepes, who's been on tear ever since he's come up. He's hit safely in 13 games since joining the Nationals. He's been, it's, I tweeted this out sort of sarcastically, but also very seriously, like it's so nice to have a first baseman that does more than just weak ground balls to the left side. Like
I think he's only hit a couple weak ground balls to the left side.
Yeah. It's just
what I recall.
Yeah. He's mostly
hammering the ball.
Yeah.
All over
it's
the field.
So nice to have like a first baseman with some power and some extra base hit ability. I saw another tweet. It was like, remember Joey Meneses? We wasted so much time. And I was like, yeah, we did. so much time, and people were still saying that he should be out. Like, it just, whatever. But Juan Yepes has been great. But point being, like, they're doing good things.
Looking towards the future here with these moves.
Right. So the Hunter Harvey move, yeah, he had a year and a half of control, but like he was a waiver claim. Yeah, it's not like he was a homegrown prospect and there was a lot invested in him. He was great, don't get me wrong, but like a profit is a profit. Like you 100% won that waiver claim and got a lot from him, both for your team and now for the future of your team, and getting essentially two prospects. You got a prospect and a draft pick that they turned into Caleb Lomavita, who they clearly liked. And we'll talk about the draft here shortly at the end. But yeah, like that just kind of signaled where they were at. And I don't think the sweep changes too much. So if anything, trading Harvey, I think, increases the chances of trading Lane Thomas in particular. Finnegan is still up in the air. I think it takes the right offer. I was of the mindset that they should have packaged Harvey and Finnegan, but I don't think that the Harvey trade was a bad trade by any means. I think they, you know, you don't know who wins and loses a trade till years later, but like on paper, they won that trade. Looks so I don't blame them for doing that.
Regardless, it's a win because of what they got, how they got Harvey basically for free. I mean, in terms, if you look at it as a business decisions only here, I think that they can't possibly lose.
If you love the Lane Thomas trade because they got Lane Thomas for the corpse of John Lester, then you better
be infatuated
with this trade because they got Hunter Harvey for nothing. And he was great, but they got him for nothing and turned him into two solid prospects.
Yeah. No, definitely. I will give a Rizzo W on that one.
Yeah.
I would also think Finnegan, if Thomas gets traded, Finnegan might go with him in a package deal as well.
It makes more sense to package them, in my opinion. Like, I think it's going to be really hard for a team. Granted, Finnegan recorded a save in every single game in the Red Series. So it's like, you know, I'm not trying to diminish his value at all. But like, I think it'll be hard for a team to trade for a year and a half of, it'll be hard for a team to pony up the value for a year and a half of what has been an elite closer. Typically, if you see an elite closer moved, it's with half a year remaining, unless you're like the elite of the elite with years of eliteness to your name, like a Josh Hader. So I think the Nats are like 60-40. They want to move him just because it just makes sense for the long-term outlook of your team. And he's also going to be what, 31 or 32 next year. So it just makes more sense to move him since he's a little bit older than other guys that you would likely need to pay top of the market money for their position. But you know, I could see a world where he sticks around as well and they try again next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could, with Finnegan specifically, that makes sense.
Finnegan specifically. Thomas, I think, is gone. I think they're going to trade him, and I think they have a much more realistic, they're much more aware of his actual value than they were last year, which I think is obviously a good thing. And I mentioned this on District Baseball. I'll mention here again, I fully expect to see Dylan Cruz in August. Certainly that he's not bumping James Wood. Jacob Young, I know there's the part that really loves him and overvalues him, and then there's the part that hates him because that part overvalues him.
Yeah.
I think he's been great, and he was my breakout pick. And like, this is actually, I'm not trying to like say I'm Nostradamus or anything, but like I sort of am, but like, this is what I envisioned Jacob Young providing for this team. Like high quality defense, a menace on the base paths, like can really just piss you off as a opposing team just having to deal with him. Like, he's just like a gnat, no pun intended. You know, he's annoying to deal with, and that's good for the Nats and annoying for other teams. Like, had the game-winning RBI in game two of the Red Series. So like, you're not going to displace him from center field. And they want Cruz up, like I mentioned. So you have to move somebody, and it's going to be Lane Thomas in that respect if they need to move somebody. So I think Lane Thomas is gone.
Yeah, with the way Young has manned center field, like, you can't take, like, his defensive value is so high. He leads the team in F war, based on defense.
He certainly does.
And base running. He's also a good base runner.
Yeah.
And another thing is that he's been doing all this, and he's probably got about 3, 4, 5 injuries that he's been dealing with. I swear he's got broken fingers on his hand. He rolled over his shoulder last week that I was like, how did he even get up from that? He got crashing hit the on the today. Kneecap. Yeah, yeah, he crashed on the wall today. He got hit in the kneecap in this series. Like, the dude has been getting absolutely bludgeoned, and he still just goes out there and does his job. Yeah. So, I mean, huge shout out to Jacob Young for stepping up and just shout playing really hard. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can say it. You were spot on there. Now, I'll give you your credit there.
Yeah. I said Jake Urban and Jacob Young, and I could not have been more right.
Yeah. And if Thomas has moved, Cruz slots right into the right field position.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have a solid core outfield for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Can I say something that I hope I don't get too much backlash on? And I've honestly been hesitant to tweet it because I know, like, there's just going to be people that don't appreciate the context. I understand he's learning a different position, and I'm not trying to say it's easy. James Wood does not move as well as I thought he would.
That's actually something that I noticed in spring training, and something when I did our short about Wood, I mentioned specifically reads in the outfield being an issue. He definitely struggles to,
I know he's 6'7",
see where the ball is going.
But like, he just does not move smoothly.
In the outfield specifically, because you watch him run the bases and he's a freaking menace. So right. I think it's more of just a recognition and read type of deal. He just needs more work out there. Also, he's been playing right field pretty much all year.
Point. Yeah,
and now he's playing left. And, you know, you think that they're not super different, but it's completely different ways the ball is being hit off the bat. The way it spins and slices or hooks or whatever. So definitely notice that he's a little late to some of these balls that maybe he should be getting to. So work to be done there, but definitely plenty of time. He's only 21. Get him some more outfield reps, figure that out in the offseason.
I'm not worried about it at all. I just, it's one thing I noticed.
No, you're like, definitely, it's definitely right to point out, because it's absolutely something I've noticed as well.
Because even, like, granted, it happens to Lane Thomas all the time. It happened in the series, but like, there was a Ellie De La Cruz double that he couldn't fish out of the corner and kind of let roll by him, and it turned into like a triple or a double with an error. So it was just like, but just even like moving around in the outfield, even if he does get a good read, like, it's not as fluid as I sort of, because he's super athletic.
He definitely hasn't looked super comfortable out there. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Although looked really comfortable to play today. 3-run bomb to give us.
He looked amazing at the plate today, because he went 2-for-4 with the game winning homer, and probably should have went 4-for-4 with 2 doubles on top of that. Got robbed twice.
Yeah, I think every exit velo was over 100.
Yeah, he's still hitting the ball hard. I mean, he had obviously he had the great first week, and then the league makes an adjustment. He's been striking out at a high rate over the past week and a half, but today he really locked it in and looked great up there. That's going to happen. You're going to have fluctuations. The league, these are veteran players. They've been doing it. They know how to pitch. James Wood is a young guy. He still has to learn how these pitchers are going to attack him. And that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, it's the same with like Wyatt Langford at the beginning of this year, for example, struggled, got injured. He has now come back and looked way better. So, you know, it just takes some time sometimes. Obviously, we love the fact that he hit an opposite field homer.
Both
off
his home
lefty.
Runs.
But
not off the lefty, but Oppo.
Oppo, both of them. Really, but today off the lefty, that was big, because he's been seeing a lot of lefties to start his career.
And it was the same lefty who I think Wood came into a situation where there was a runner on second, and he had the opportunity to, you know, punch in the winning run or to take the lead or tie the game or whatever, and he got him to roll over. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's the same
adjustments
pitcher.
Made. Exactly.
Yeah. Adjustments made, first pitch, 3-run Oppo bomb. Obviously gives you the series sweep in the, you know, the win today. So not worried about James Wood at all. Just kind of wanted to point it out as we get to know him, you know, as he gets more
part of the process
for sure. You know, and since we're, you know, back to the trade deadline, since we're talking about guys that could be moved, we might as well talk about the guys that will definitely be moved, regardless of if Finnegan stays, if Thomas stays, Jesse Winker, Dylan Floro, thank you for your service, but, you know,
salute.
Your watch has ended.
Salute.
Your watch has ended.
Yeah, no, definitely. Winker, just, I mean, a great bounce back year from some. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything from him.
No, when he signed him. I thought it could be like okay, but certainly not to this level.
No, he's absolutely overperformed all expectations. Gotten back to that hitting style of where he was a couple years back. And you know, at the beginning of the year, he was on base a lot, but not really hitting for much power. But he's really ramped up the power.
Almost went yard over, again today.
Yeah, and I think he ended up flying out. But yeah, I mean, he's been and off the bench, dude. He's been unreal pinch hitting. So
Davey is so stupid for all of his platooning with Jesse Winker. Good Lord. Yes. I had to say that. Like
100%.
Multiple people have pointed it out, but like
the stats don't add up. He's
your second best hitter this year. Stop platooning him. Like it makes no sense. Oh my
especially
God.
Especially now, because insane. Now you want to prove to the other teams that he can hit lefties. You don't want to hide him, right? I mean, it's like kind of too late.
Play Harold Ramirez at third and DH Winker every day. Like, if you're really concerned about it, Harold Ramirez hit a bomb yesterday, so it's like, you know, there's something there, but we don't need to do the song and dance with Winker. It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
No,
it's one thing with Garcia, it's another thing with Jesse Winker.
I think it's stupid with Garcia now because
it is stupid with Garcia.
At this point, we made the decision to not to sell. We're basically, you know, we're punting this year when we sold Harvey, obviously. So now you got to let Luis hit against lefties so you can tell if he can hit against lefties or not. So you don't have a question going into next year again. And he's actually, when he has played against lefties recently, he's been pretty freaking good. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know. That's Davey's lineups are a thing that we've been having issues with for a long time. But I mean, luckily, with some of these more recent roster moves, it's kind of taken it out of his hands a little bit. But still, he still has Vargas, so he still wants to put Vargas in
there. I won't be happy
there.
Until Davey Martinez never makes a decision for the Nationals again.
Dude, I mean, bullpen management, even in this series, was bad. But they got away with it because the offense showed up. Floro and as well will be a guy that gets moved. He's had a pretty damn solid year for the Nats.
Yeah, he has.
Nice signing there. So two 1 year. I think Flora was a major league. Was he a minor league too? Actually?
No, he was major.
I think both. Okay, so Winker was minor league. But so, still, like either way, 2 1-year deals. You're gonna get something for him. Maybe you put Flora in a package with Winker or Lane Thomas if you move him as well, and you don't end up moving Finnegan.
And that's the thing, like. I'm so happy they learned from their mistakes last year. Like, first of all, they took more flyers this year than they did in years past. And second, they cut bait with the flyers that wouldn't net them anything at the deadline.
Yeah, that's true.
In plenty of time too.
Didn't have an Alcides Escobar moment from 22.
Michael Franco. Yeah. Like they cut bait with Senzel or whatever, how you say his last name, and Rosario super early. Like, you know, they're learning, and now they hit on two of them at a well above average rate for a flyer, and you're going to get something valuable in return. Like even the Candelario thing last year, everyone was like, okay, hers is, you know, tantalizing. Made's kind of a throw in glove first, but now Made's raking in the minors. I think he's in high and maybe just got
hers
promoted.
Obviously had some incredible moments in the majors this year.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you just never know, but keep taking these flyers, keep taking these shots. Yeah,
and Winker's hitting better than Candelario was last year, although Candy last year was playing really good defense too.
And yeah, he had first and third base versatility. So I don't think we'll get as much for Winker as we did Candy, but like still should definitely trade Winker. And even if you get one guy, even if you get just the DJ Hurst, like clearly that's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. For a guy that's definitely not going to be here next year. Definitely.
Yeah, so those are the main guys that could be traded. Like your Trevor Williams, he's not going to make it back in time for him to get traded. And I'm actually going to, you know, segue that into our next topic, which is more so just the rotation and how they project for the rest of the season. But just to tie a bow on the trade deadline talk. Trevor Williams isn't getting moved. Joey Gallo isn't getting moved. However, I do think he's a potential cut candidate in August. Once he comes back, they'll give him a chance. I don't even know if there is a spot for him right now. Like it kind of feels
like
him. You can't
take Yepez out for him.
Right. It kind of feels like him or Harold Ramirez. So,
yeah.
But at the same time, like, I guess if you trade Winker, that opens up, a spot for Gallo. a little bit. And if you trade Thomas, Gallo can play right until you're ready to call up Cruz. And maybe that's the corresponding move, is you cut Gallo to clear a 40 man spot for Cruz. I could see that. Yeah, but point being, Gallo's not being moved at the deadline. Corbin had a great start the other day. I doubt he gets moved at the deadline. It's been way too
I will give a Rizzo massive W immediately if he moves him for anything. I mean, anything, like cash would be good. Right.
Exactly.
$50.
Yeah. So just to tie a bow, Trevor Williams could have gotten something. He obviously won't now. Joey Gallo, I wasn't convinced was going to get anything anyways. So he'll be, I would imagine, just he won't make it to the end of the season one way or another.
Probably. True.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, but back to Trevor Williams. I think in a way, it actually helps that he's going to stick around and hopefully come back and be able to eat some innings, because this rotation, while they've been more great than bad, they're hitting a wall right now. And yeah, we're seeing definitely. That. Jake Irvin, thank God he came back fresh after the All-Star break. He looked great today after struggling heading into the All-Star break. But Mackenzie Gore has looked terrible. I'm not going to say it, but he has the thing that rhymes with nips.
Actually thought he might. I was like, is he fucking hurt?
Yeah, it's alarming. So long term, I'm still very high on him, but right now, little concerned. He's hitting a wall. Mitchell Parker, DJ Hurst. Obviously, they sent down DJ Hurst to try to manage his innings. Mitchell Parker, you will need to do that as well. He couldn't even get out of the first inning the other day.
He's just looked tired. I mean, it makes sense. It's
more innings they've ever thrown in than they have in their life. Like, I get it.
Yeah, they had that. Well, yeah, that's one thing. That massive month-long heat wave on the East Coast probably didn't help anybody stay fresh. So, we'll have to wait to see what Parker looks like coming out of the break, but I would assume, yeah, he's going to get sent down at some point just to manage the innings.
To manage
it. Like hers, just because he's never thrown this many innings before.
Yeah, so Williams coming back will actually help. Just even if he sucks, if he's last year's Trevor Williams, he's saving
at this point, it doesn't matter
for the future, right? if we're punting on the season, five. I'm not gonna lose my mind.
Yeah.
But you know, even a step further, and this really sucks for the Nats, Josiah Gray diagnosed with partially torn UCL. Horrible news, but it also feels so. There's two layers to this. One, I feel, sad, obviously, but it's kind of expected because, he just hasn't been hitting his velo for months, mm-hmm. right? So it's just like,
even spring training, he wasn't getting up there. He was like 92, and right. That's like, he was normally, 94, 95.
So like, I'm not surprised. And that certainly contributes to him getting rocked in AAA and on rehab starts, which happens, it happened to Justin Verlander. Like, I'm not like, I don't put too much stock into those. Like, it's spring training. pitchers are trying different things, they're trying their off speed, making sure it's worked. Like those stats don't like matter. So there's that part to it. Like just the fact that it sucks. Right. The other part is like, this has been going on since we talked about it, like since spring training, since like week one of the season. And we're just now getting to the point where he needs to have surgery, and they haven't decided on the type of surgery. You would think if he's having surgery, he's probably just going to get Tommy John, which really sucks because that takes him out for all of next year too. At this point in the season, you're too late for him to even come back next year, like maybe like a September 2025. But it really sucks that, you know, you waited as long as you did and you wasted, like, if you have a partially torn UCL, I'm not a doctor, but at the same time, something was clearly wrong for a while. Why did you just now wait to get like an MRI? Like that I need to explain to me, but so that's the frustrating part of it. Like you could have gotten at least 2 months back if you had just kind of managed this thing better from the start.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. He's going to miss the entire season next year. Whereas if they had decided this in April when he went on IL, he probably gets, you know, good two and a half months in next year instead, at least to ramp back up. And then obviously in 26 is you hope he's healthy. Now in general, you hope he's healthy in 26, but huge so bummer, obviously. Yeah. We love Josiah and we don't want him to be hurt. We need him to be in the rotation and be healthy. So, yeah, it sucks. Good luck to him on his recovery, and we'll see him in 26, I guess.
That part really sucks because, like, I really wanted him to just get a couple good starts again so people would just shut up.
Yeah, no, for real.
Like, last year, I know his underlying statistics weren't the most favorable, but he was still a really good pitcher. Yeah. When we didn't have good pitchers, he was a good pitcher. And it just sucks that like now he's kind of lost that shine when he doesn't deserve this. He was hurt clearly. Mm-hmm. So it's just frustrating. But on another note, that Max Scherzer Trey Turner trade looks horrible if we're being honest.
I know. As much praise as the Soto trade gets, and it should, I think there should be some equal scrutiny towards that.
Yeah,
Trey Turner, especially,
Ruiz is statistically the worst hitter in terms of I think WRC plus. He has a 60
qualified catchers probably.
Qualified hitters.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeesh. Or maybe it's just per team. No, I actually think it is qualified hitters. I saw a stat today. I'll have to pull it up to verify. But point being, he's very bad.
Yeah, and the two other players acquired in that trade, Casey and Carrillo, never even played for him.
And so, rather than maximizing the prospect of return, they asked for the Dodgers to pay for one of the 7 years of deferred money to Max Scherzer. They asked him to pony up $18 million.
And also is the fact that Turner at the time had another year.
A year too. And a half.
So yeah. If he was on an expiring, it's still a bad trade, a bad miss for the Nats, but it's not as bad. But
right.
When you consider you would have had him for a full season, it's definitely, and you could have maybe gotten a better outcome for him. So
yeah,
definitely a miss on that one. A huge bummer, obviously, that Gray is not going to be able to play next year, probably.
Yep. The last note, and not entirely unexpected, but sort of dovetails applies to Gray as well. Cade Gavalli was doing rehab starts, and then we kind of didn't hear from him, or not from him, but about him for a while. Over the weekend, David Martinez revealed he's been dealing with some dead arm,
just great.
Yeah, his arm's just tired, and so they're basically restarting his throwing program, which they should, right? They're reacting to the situation.
Definitely the correct move. It just sucks.
Right. But like, that's the thing with these surgeries, like doing it sooner rather than later helps, because then if you have these setbacks, it just prolongs the recovery time. Right. And you have to be smart and give them the time they need. But I would imagine we don't see Cade Gavalli this year. If we do, it's probably for like the last 2 weeks of September, maybe a start.
It's going to be like, he basically is going to have the same thing he had in at the end of 22, where he just kind of had like the one start. That's probably a best case scenario at this point.
Yeah.
So, might not see him at all.
Yeah. So just kind of wrapping it up, right? Jake Urban. Oh, we didn't even really mention it. Urban's going to need his innings managed too, because he's already thrown the most. Like, he looks good right now, but you can't just let him go. Like, for the long term health of your team and obviously the player, you can't just let him go.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see him get, you know, up over 150 at least. 160, yeah, probably. 160
was the number I had in my mind, because he's already at like 120, I think.
Yeah, and that's enough to where you can say, okay, he got a full season workload. Yeah. And now going forward, you don't feel like you don't have to limit him.
Yeah, he can get to 180. A lot of guys will pitch, you know, 30 starts and not get to 180, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if he gets to 160 this year, you can kind of just forget about innings workload in 25. But he will need his innings managed. Hers will need his innings managed like even more so than they already have. Parker will need his innings managed. Gore will need his innings managed. So, you know, that's your four right there. Gray is out. Cavalli is basically out. So you have Corbin, and then some combination of Joanna Doan, who's been working as a reliever. So I don't know if they even want to move him back to a starter, but they might have to. Rutledge, who, you know,
he had a decent start, actually.
Yeah, he was okay, but he's going to need to pitch, and you're going to just need to figure out what you have, because all of a sudden you have all this pitching depth. So you need to figure out if Rutledge fits at all, and if he doesn't, then you just need to move him, because, you know, not that you would get a haul for him, but it just makes more sense to move him if you're not going to use him.
I was also thinking, potentially, you know, when all the moves happen, you get guys that go on waivers, maybe pick up a veteran starter,
just Dallas to have that.
Yeah. Vein. Have a guy that can slot in. And then that way you can also go 6-man rotation.
Yep.
And that can spell, like they did last year, you can spell some innings that way. And then obviously you'll have Corbin still, he'll still be every fifth day. And then Williams will hopefully join in, and it's just going to be a kind of a hodgepodge group, trying to manage these guys' innings in the second half. And I would think that they would consider picking up a guy off waivers that is just going to be able to eat some innings.
And at the same time, like, we didn't expect Mitchell Parker and DJ Hurst to be in the rotation, you know, now. So it's like, in some ways, we're currently in a hodgepodge.
That's true.
The other name I want to throw out there for anyone that doesn't know is Brad Lord. He could be another guy.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, he could be another guy that comes up, and the Nats will certainly want to see what they have, because, like, this is a next year problem. They don't have to worry about it, like, right now, but they have too many guys for in terms of spots. Although what the Gray injury kind of changes that, but in theory, Cavalli comes back and is ready to go by the next year. You have Urban, you have Gore, Hurst, Parker is five. Right. So if they have anyone else, or if they want to sign someone, which I think they should, then obviously you have more guys than rotation spots available. But Brad Lord is an interesting one. He's had a hell of a year.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. He started.
I don't even think I had heard of him until
he started in high year. A Wilmington, had a cup of coffee, and then just really tore it up in Harrisburg Double A, went 8-1 with a 1.4 ERA and 12 starts, 70.2 innings. I mean,
I don't care how bad the hitting environment in Harrisburg is. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then, so he got the promotion to Rochester. He's had four starts, 2-0, 4.35 ERA. But at the same time, that ERA is better than what either Irvin or Parker had when they were called up. So, like, I'm not too concerned about the ERA in Rochester, but at the same time, he's just going to need to pitch because, you know, they're going to need to mix and match to make sure everyone stays under their innings count. And I mean, even he's at, if you combine his levels, he's at 95 innings this year. So I don't even know how much of an option he really is, because
like September probably gets a couple looks then.
Yeah. He's not too far behind like the Parkers and the Hurs's workload. So he may not even be an option, but I do think we see him this year. Especially once some 40-man roster spots clear up because of trades and whatnot, they might just opt to add him to the 40-man now. So that was another name, but yeah, it's going to be kind of a rough rotation to end the season, but kind of just is for most teams that end up selling. It is what it is.
Yep, but definitely there'll be a lot of interesting changes coming for the Nats. Assuming they are aggressive at the trade deadline for selling, which they should be. So we'll have a lot to talk about in terms of roster maneuvering, certainly once those trades happen. Yeah. And we'll get a good feel for kind of some of the guys that'll be joining the squad down the stretch.
Yep, for sure. The last thing I want to touch on is just the draft real quick that happened over the All-Star break. So that's just, I'll keep it quick because I know the MLB draft isn't quite to the level as the NFL or NBA draft. Nats picked at 10, and in baseball, there's, you know, you can go under slot. So each pick is assigned a slot value. So we'll just say pick 10 is assigned $5 million, right? So there's a consensus big board. If you draft anyone from, like, you know, if they're ranked 10th through 12th, they're probably just going to get the $5 million. Mm-hmm. If you draft, if someone falls, if they're ranked 8th, and they fall to 10 and you take them, you're probably having to go like $5.5 million or $6 million, right? And that's called overslot, right? When guys fall and you want to sign them, you have to pay more than the slot value. But then there's the underslot method, whereas if you're picking 10th, you can take a guy who's ranked, let's say 17th. And, you know, he was projected to only get like maybe $4.2 million at 17, but now he's in this $5 million slot value at pick 10, and you can cut a deal. You don't have to pay the full $5 million, but he gets more than the 4.2. So you can cut a deal for like a 4.8, right? And there's some savings. That's just kind of rough numbers. Those weren't the actual numbers, but that's the underslot method. And then you can use those savings later in the draft when other guys fall, right? Or like in baseball, it's very unique because you can draft guys out of high school. Right. So if a guy's committed to UVA, right, you can be like, hey, here's this amount of money. It's more than the slot value because we had all these savings from underslot. Don't go to UVA. Just go straight to our, you know, single A.
Take the money.
Right. Take the money and we'll develop you. And that's a very viable method. So that's just kind of the philosophy. Typically, the Nats just stick and pick. They take the best player available, and then they'll get their savings later in the draft. They'll draft, you know, four-year seniors that, you know, just want to make it into the minors but probably won't make it to the majors, and that's where they get their savings. When Rizzo was in charge, he typically blew the bonus pool early in the draft, and that produced some stars, but it didn't really produce the depth you need in the minor leagues. Now, Danny Haas came over from Baltimore, director of scouting now. Baltimore obviously famous for their underslot philosophy and methods. It's worked out pretty damn well. The Nats went underslot this year. Seaver King out of Wake Forest, kind of a do-it-all. The comp, he even said it himself, is Mookie Betts. Pump the brakes. It's more more so Mookie Betts in terms of he's really good outfield, infield. You can move him around. He hits the ball really hard, but doesn't walk a lot, and he hits the ball into the ground a lot. So kind of like a perfect national right now.
Yeah, of course.
But really good player. I would have liked them to swing a little bit higher with their first overall pick. It's a top 10 pick's a top 10 pick. I would have liked them to go more upside, but Seaver King's is a fine player. And I just wanted to put that out there, 'cause I know some fans were disappointed in the pick, but I think it's a fine pick. It's just one, you know, he's a college bat. So in theory, he moves through the minors quicker than certainly a high school bat. And two, where is he going to end up? Because they're listing him as a shortstop. So if you develop him as a shortstop, you certainly don't want to, you know, call him up as a center fielder or a second baseman or anything. Not that he couldn't. So it's just interesting. You know, this is years down the line, but if he's a shortstop, what, you know, did they finally move CJ Abrams to second base? CJ's the worst defender in baseball, and that's not an exaggeration. So just kind of interesting food for thought. I mentioned Caleb Lobmavita. I can't remember if this was this episode or last episode, but that was the catcher.
I liked the third pick the most.
Yeah, Luke Dickerson, high school bat. That's the kind of upside you're swinging for. Hopefully,
and that's they went under slaughter. He already said he was like, he pretty much said he was going to sign.
Yeah. So
I think he also took BP at the field. So that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah. That's why you do it. So it'll be interesting. Obviously time will tell. it wasn't the flashiest Nats draft, but they balanced it pretty well. And I think this was just a year where they needed to improve the farm system depth. So hopefully mm-hmm. they achieved that and just got some quality players, yeah. but maybe not as high of upside as some previous drafts, yeah. but
I liked it. Might not be a bad thing. My point when I was tweeting it out was like, you kind of you think if you're the Nats, you think you have your superstars already. You think you have your stars in Abrams, Wood, and Cruz. Mm-hmm. So put the depth around them to make them successful. And I think that's what they were going for in this draft. I think that they did pretty well.
Yeah, agreed. So that does it for this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at District Baseball and TikTok as well. You can follow Trey at Reverse2R2S's on Twitter and myself at Coach Moose. We appreciate you listening. We'll see how the trade deadline goes. Please sell everything. And in the meantime, let's go Nats.
Let's go Nats, baby.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.